Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Peter Welch, I think if there's one thing that scares the hell out of most of us, it's that the Internal Revenue Service will go after political enemies of the current administration. We know that we're in the middle of something right now. Can you tell us what you're thinking?
Well, that's an absolutely valid concern on the part of Americans. I mean, there's a principle that we can't violate, and that is that the law has to be applied equally. And the evidence that we have that the IRS violated that by targeting, in this case, conservative groups with the word Tea Party, that's absolutely a line you can't cross. It's unacceptable. And I serve on the Oversight Committee where we had a hearing, and we're just beginning the process of getting to the bottom of what happened. And if the evidence shows that there was mismanagement, political ineptitude that was the cause of this, then the people who were responsible should be fired. A more serious question that hasn't been answered yet is to whether there was any politically driven, politically motivated instructions from politically powerful people to do this. And if that were the case, then, in fact, I think indictments would be the right response. We don't know how this happened, but we're knee-deep, getting up to neck-deep in the investigation. And bottom line, this is an investigation that Republicans and Democrats must be committed to, because we do have to guarantee that there is equal protection of the law and there's not selective prosecution because of the political affiliation of an organization. So that's the central issue. There's a second issue that we can talk about as well, that the campaign finance system we have is a total mess. You know, there is one of the reasons I'm so upset about this. There's two reasons I'm upset about what we know about the IRS. One is just the question that has been legitimately raised as to whether there was a political bias. But second, the IRS is a cop on the beat. It's supposed to enforce the law with respect to these social welfare organizations that get a tax exemption through Section 501(c)(4) of the tax code. And if you have so-called social welfare organizations that are raising millions of dollars and then spending it on overtly political activity, and there's a lot of evidence that that is the case for some of these organizations with a Democratic bias and with a Republican bias, then that's just a way basically to avoid any transparency, any knowledge about who the donors are, and also a ripoff of the taxpayers. So the IRS should be enforcing the law, because the law says that these social welfare organizations have to be involved in social welfare activity, not political partisan political activity. That's a violation of the tax code. So, in fact, a lot of this flows from that really, in my view, absurd decision of Citizens United, where the Supreme Court said that a corporation is a person. You know, a corporation has rights and they should be enforced. Corporations play a major role in our economy and that should be promoted. But the idea that it's a person like you or me or our listeners, I mean, I think that's absurd.
So you're looking at the tax code, obviously. You're on the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. We all know that the tax code is loaded in favor of people who want something that the rest of us don't get. And both sides have rhetoric about this. Is it possible that we're actually going to see some reform?
I'm pessimistic about it in this Congress. You know, there's a lot of consensus that the tax code is a mess. And it does play favorites. And in fact, the tax code has preferences that total $1.1 trillion. That's what the cost is to the taxpayer of uncollected revenues. And that's more spending through the tax code than you have in the appropriations bill. And some of those expenditures are things that have broad support, the charitable deduction, for instance, or the home mortgage deduction. But there's a lot of things in there that are crazy. You know, the having hedge fund billionaires pay half the tax rate of other people who do the same work but can't get that carried interest loophole, or giving tax breaks to very profitable companies like the oil industry, where they made $1 trillion in the last 10 years but still enjoy tax preferences that date back to 1915. You know, that just doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of things that we should do that would clean up the tax code. But the impediments are, once you get specific, a lot of those special interests come in ferociously. And secondly, the big battle between, frankly, between the Democrats and Republicans, a lot of us on my side, if we make reforms in the tax code, we'd like to invest that in infrastructure or making student loans affordable, very specific things that we need to build our economy. And on the other side, there's just a desire to lower rates, including at the top tier level, to just squeeze revenues more and more out of the economy and not invest. So that's a big debate.
Well, I don't want to bring you over the state line here, but in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo has come up with an interesting idea, which is to allow businesses to go onto university campuses and to avoid all state taxes for their workers and for themselves. We all pay taxes, and every time somebody gets a break like that, somebody else has to pay it, right?
Yeah, that's true. And anytime you have a tax code that is intended to be the way to provide an incentive for a certain activity that you decide is desirable, you are paying for it. It's not free. So that has to be assessed. Obviously, you know, the New York legislature and the governor are going to have to figure that out. But your point is correct, that if you give a tax preference to one industry, one area, then somehow that has got to be made up, either in the form of higher taxes on other people who didn't get the break, or on lower services for people who need the services.
Okay, so we all know, Peter, that the K Street boys come down and they're paid immense amounts of money, and that people give immense amount of money, as you have indicated already, to political campaigns, and nobody has to say, which would be against the law, if you do this, I'll do that. Everybody understands their role in all of this. So is it hopeless?
No, we can never say that. I mean, I'm thrilled that I have a seat at the table and have a place to be in this fight to advocate for Vermont values. You know, Vermonters try to solve problems. Our approach is that you listen to people you disagree with, you try to find common ground, and you believe in principled compromise to move you forward. And the fact that it's a tough problem isn't a reason that you ignore the problem. And the fact that it's an uphill battle is not a reason you don't get in the battle. So, you know, coming from Vermont, where a lot of people have a lot more challenging jobs than I have and are contending with a lot more everyday real-world challenges with paying for the bills, getting their kids into college, dealing with the aftermath of a storm like Irene. I mean, people in everyday life face tough challenges and just do it. And the idea that us in Congress would get discouraged because something is tough. I don't accept that.
We only have 2 minutes, a little less than 2 minutes left. I wanted to talk to you about the concept of older people who are being basically screwed by fraudsters. What are you doing about that?
You know, that happens, and older people tend to be more vulnerable. And in Vermont, we've been getting victimized, older people especially, by Jamaican telephone scams, where in effect, and people call up and kind of suggest that somebody's in trouble and send money and we'll get them out. It might be a grandson, or that they've won the lottery, but you've just got to send a little bit of money so we can process the check. And, you know, when you and I talk about it, it's hard to imagine us getting really reeled in. But older people are vulnerable and sometimes appreciate a call because they're lonely. And the extent of this fraud has been serious, and Fairpoint Communications in Vermont, Mike Smith, their former president, was really an advocate to have us do something. Our Attorney General, Bill Sorrell, has been very active in this, and we had a hearing in Washington on trying to address this. And what my legislation, bipartisan legislation, would do is allow the Federal Trade Commission to have an office that would be a central clearinghouse for complaints, a very simple way to get that information about a scam that's developing and get that information back to the local authorities so that they can get information out to citizens. Because you've got to stop this before somebody gets hooked. What the Attorney General explained was the obvious, and that is once the money's out the door, your ability to get it back is really diminished.
Well, we are out of time for this week. Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont at large, in office since 2007. He's the only congressman in Vermont, I want to point that out, and we're very proud to have him here for that reason and a lot of others. Peter, we'll see you one more time, and we'll be talking about something else.
Great. Thank you.